Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Wow. So out of the podcast, what did we go with tonight? Well, I'm not going to lie. If you were one of the handful of people that reached out about this, we heard you. I had a handful of you reaching out this last week. And Jack, have you tried this? Have you tried that? So we're going to see what the fuss is about. The Tropical Punch from Olipop. Looking it up, I know there are a handful of places online, which is kind of cool to look up. The best people that have tried every single flavor and ranked them best to worst. And it seems unanimous that a lot of people agree that this is the best one out there. And I have to say, I like it. Excuse me. I like it, but it tastes a little bit different than I anticipated. So the big catchphrase for the Tropical Punch is from Olipop is like a vacation for your taste buds, and I love it. It says Tropical Punch perfectly balances pineapple, passion fruit, mandarin, and apple juices for a crisp, juicy, and nostalgic flavor reminiscent of your favorite childhood fruit punch. And it really does. When reading up on this, looking into this, it was sounding like it was going to be something comparable to like Hawaiian Punch, which in my opinion, it's not. This is a lot more flavorful and has a lot more flavor to it. As great as Hawaiian Punch is, not knocking it, it is very sugary and you can tell it from the taste. This isn't like that, and I kind of like that about it. You know, it contains 8% juice. That's one of the things I really do like about Olipop and Poppy. They're very similar. They're kind of the new kinds of soda. We'll get into that in a second if you haven't listened before, kind of what Olipop is. But yeah, I do like it. So kind of going back a little bit. So like I said, Olipop, for those that haven't been listening, is... Excuse me, it's a soft drink, and their brand is as a healthy prebiotic soda, one of two prebiotic sodas we've had on the podcast, and we really enjoy Olipop, and then Poppy is the other one. But like I said, Olipop is the one we're doing tonight, and I have to say, I like it. I know quite a few people that don't really particularly like the taste of pineapple, so if you don't like pineapple... I take it you're not one of the handful of people reaching out to me telling me about this craze. But I like it. I gotta say, I'm probably gonna be drinking this a little bit more. When I drink it, I think of, you know, summertime, you know, sitting by the pool, you know, relaxing, having something like this by the beach, that kind of thing. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I appreciate you asking me to try this out because it's kind of get me psyched and pumped for summertime. But yeah, Olipop, go check them out. Website is simple. It's www.drinkolipop.com. Olipop is Olipop. And they have, endless. I mean, looking at, excuse me, scrolling up and down there, their Patriot, they have endless amount of stuff that it looks like they have a limited time, flavor that just recently came out, a new one that looks like is here to stay long term. That's a new flavor. So go check them out. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Like I said, they're a new brand of soda. They're the kind of soda that you probably don't want to drink five or six of them. I would recommend, I've never, other than the first night I found out about these and I didn't know exactly what they were, I've never drank more than one in a day just because they're prebiotic sodas, so it like it helps with your gut health. So drinking a lot of these is kind of going to make your digestive system mad at you, for lack of better words. We're not going to get graphic on here, but yeah, it happened to me, like I said, the first time when I found out about these. Saw them at my parents' house. I had, I think, 3-4 of them or something like that, and in the span of only a couple hours. So do not suggest anybody else do that, but I like this. Like I said, it tastes different. It tastes different than I was expecting, but I do like it. This is only probably, I'm trying to look at the flavors. I want to say this is only the fourth flavor of Olipop we've done on here. Gosh, and I have to say, I think I really like the root beer. I don't know that I like this one more than the root beer, but I have to say, out of the four, I would probably say this is my second favorite. It's something you're probably going to drink the most of in the summer, maybe springtime. But throughout the year, easy to drink, smooth. I would say the initial taste is probably more pineapple, and the aftertaste is more the mandarin. And a little bit of apple juice as well. So, yeah, I really like it. We'll go with a nice, solid 8.3. Like I said, I really like it. I would have to, for those people out there that have, like, ranked every single one of them, I'm going to probably have to have one of you on the podcast sometime once we do more and more. But, yeah, only four under my belt. This would probably, I would probably say, is my second favorite one so far. So, yes, go check them out. Like I said, drinkolipop.com. You can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, weirdly enough, Pinterest, and TikTok. So now for, Tommy Town. We're going to do kind of like the We're going to kind of do the sandwich effect tonight on Tommy Town. We have a little bit of Tommy news at the beginning, and we're going to end with it. And in the middle, we have some shout-outs and some overall college sports we're going to get into. So without further ado, it was announced just on Tuesday, April 9th, that graduate senior Parker Bjorklund was among six participants to earn the prestigious academic honor, landing himself on the second Summit League All-Academic Team. Bjorklund, who is a digital experience major, was selected to the College Sports Communicators Academic All-District Team late in March. He's now a two-time honoree to the Summit League All-Academic Team. And he joins Denver's Toko Tenemio as the only repeat selection and is one of three to earn both All-League and All-Academic honors this season. So a huge congratulations to him. He finished this last season as an All-Summit League second-team selection and led the Tommies with 13.2 points per game, which ranked 13th in the Summit League, ranked 3rd in the league with 47.2 shooting percentage, and was 18th overall with 4.6 rebounds a game and 18th with 0.8 steals per game. To be eligible for the Summit League All-Academic Team, a student athlete must have a cumulative GPA of at least 3.3 on a 4.0 scale, complete at least one full academic year at the current institution they are at, and participate in at least 50% of the team's competition. So a huge, huge congratulations to him. He joins two guards from South Dakota, a forward from South Dakota State, and then two forwards from Denver. So, like I said, a huge, huge, huge congratulations to him. It's going to be tough to see him go, but it's awesome. It's awesome when you see guys getting the recognition that they deserve. So, huge congratulations to him. And with that, we move on. So, obviously, no new news to report on for the men's and women's hockey teams. But the Frozen Four in St. Paul is well overweight. Game one actually just got over a couple of minutes ago. But the first game of the day was Boston University Terriers and the Denver University of Denver Pioneers. BU actually got the scoring started in this game, scoring just under shorthanded of all ways, and just under 8 minutes into the first period. Denver would tie the game up at about the 15-minute mark into the second period, and then just over halfway into the first overtime, Tristan Braz would get the winner, game winner for Denver, and will send them, to their second national championship game in the last 3 years. So a huge congratulations to them. And then, like I did mention just a couple minutes ago, the Denver Pioneers have found out their opponent on a Saturday night, and they will be playing the Boston College Eagles as they took care of Michigan and blanked them 4-2. Apologize for that. The Eagles got on the board just over a minute into the game and never looked back. Will Smith scored 2 goals, the first and second goal for the Eagles, to push them, to their first national championship game in, since 2012 when they won it. So a huge congratulations to them. If I'm being completely honest with you guys, I was telling my one of my coworkers today, between these four teams, I don't really have much stake in any of the teams. I just told them, I was like, you know, with BU on one side and Boston College on the other side, the only thing I don't want is an all Massachusetts or all Boston national championship game. So my wish has been granted. So yeah, a huge, huge, huge congratulations nonetheless to Michigan and BU for getting to the Final Four or Frozen Four. No easy feat. But an even bigger congratulations to the Denver Pioneers and Boston College Eagles as they will play for a national championship on Saturday night. And then for March Madness, guys, it is over. It is over. Congratulations to the UConn men's basketball team for their repeat championship and for the first repeat since Florida did so back in 06 and 07. Sorry about that. 06 and 07 with Billy Donovan. And a huge congratulations to Purdue for making it to the national championship game as well. So, yeah, I mean, UConn, I have to say, part of me after that game, after the result, part of me was kind of like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And a little part of me was, meh, a little surprised. But hey, it was a fun March Madness. March Madness is completed. So I will be reaching out if you finished, in the top six. I will be reaching out and getting you some merch. So congratulations to everybody that took part in that, and yeah, it was fun, and obviously can't wait to do it again next year. And then before we move on, we have a little bit of news from the football team. Nothing groundbreaking, but the first order of news from the football team, back on Tuesday, the football team announced some schedule updates. So St. Thomas now will officially kick off the 2024 season on Thursday, August 29th, when they host Sioux Falls, the University of Sioux Falls, at 7 p.m. at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. The Thursday game is just the second home night game in program history, and obviously the first were the Tommies in the Division I era. Next, St. Thomas will host Northern Iowa and Black Hills State University at O'Shaughnessy Stadium as well during the first 3 weeks of this upcoming 2024 season, with both of those games slated to start at 1 p.m. On both Saturday, September 7th, and Saturday, September 14th. After that, the Tommies will open the Pioneer Football League play against Stetson on October 5th, and then we'll welcome San Diego, Drake, Dayton in their quest for a second Pioneer Football League title in just their fourth Division I season. But other than the three home, as far as home games are concerned anyways, for the three non-conference games starting off, no other times have been solidified. Family weekend will be October 5th against Stetson. Homecoming will be November 9th against Drake. And Senior Day will be the final home game against Dayton on November 23rd. And then the last thing from the football team, just yesterday, Wednesday the 10th, defensive back Johnson Fala was named Stein Fallon College Scholar Athlete. He's the first St. Thomas student athlete to be named Stein Fallon College Scholar Athlete. And he's, like I said, so I had a little bit of a question as to this, so reading into it, the Stein Fallon College Scholar Athlete Award highlights, it was established in 2010, so we're still relatively new, but it highlights outstanding academic, athletic, and community service accomplishments and is presented annually to a football student athlete from a college or university in Minnesota. He checked off all the boxes during his career at St. Thomas, maintaining a 4.0 grade point average while pursuing a master's degree in business administration with an emphasis in organizational leadership. His fifth and final season with the Tommies, he was named first team all-conference and second team all-academic all-conference by the PFL and earned academic all-district honors from the College Sports Communicators in 2023. And he was named to the Pioneer Football League Academic Honor Roll in 22 and 23 and was also inducted to the NFF Hampshire Honor Society in 2022. So a huge, huge congratulations to him, and he and the rest of the 2024 award winners will be recognized during the summer's Minnesota Football Honors television broadcast, and all of that information will be announced at a later date. So like we said with Parker Bureau-Clint, a huge congratulations to Johnson. Like I said, you know, a lot of these guys are always in it for the team accolades and everything like that, but it's awesome to see them getting the recognition that they so rightly and deservingly deserve. Now, I feel bad. I had my notes different tonight, so excuse me for kind of going out of order here, but before we move on, another huge congratulations to the University of South Carolina Gamecocks, a women's basketball team, on their undefeated national championship season. Truly, truly historic. Like I said, 38-0. It's hard enough to go undefeated through the regular season. It's hard to go undefeated in championship play. And then obviously once you get to March Madness, men's or women, it's hard to win those round of 64, 32, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. It's hard to win six games in a row after, you know, doing all of that. So a huge congratulations to them. No easy feat. All those girls, and a huge, this is a big deal coming from me, a Minnesota fan. A huge congratulations to Iowa, to Caitlin Clark. Would have loved to have seen her cap off her an amazing, amazing collegiate career before heading out to the WNBA with a national championship. But I think she's going to do great things for the WNBA. She's already done great things for the world of women's basketball, and it kind of excited to see what she does next. I think if my memory serves me right, I think the Indiana Fever have the number one overall pick. So should she go number one overall, which she deserves to, shouldn't be moving too far for her and for her friends and family to be able to travel to see her. So, yeah, huge congratulations to the two of them. And, yeah, that is officially all the news, everything for college sports. And then before we move on, we have a few things to go over with our professional sports team. But before we do, I do feel bad. The last couple of podcasts, we haven't done a local business shout-out. But I came across a page actually earlier today getting ready for the podcast that I felt was necessary to shout out. So without further ado, the first local business shout out in a while goes to Minnesota Awesome. What is Minnesota Awesome? They are a Minnesota designed and printed apparel company. They say their apparel is the best out there. Their shirts are designed and printed in Bloomington, Minnesota, on quality apparel. When you buy a Minnesota Awesome shirt or hat, you are getting an original design that will let you show your Minnesota pride to the world and will almost always help you start a conversation with friends, families, neighbors, and strangers. Minnesota is awesome. Let's celebrate it. Hell yeah. Let's do exactly that. And I have to say, looking at their site, they have a lot of cool things, and kind of gets you excited for the summer. Minnesota nice stuff, 10,000 lakes. They have some kind of generic Minnesota stuff and some Minnesota sports stuff. They got everything from t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats. They got kids stuff. They have accessories such as ornaments, coasters, magnets, koozies, stickers, puzzles, greeting cards. Kitchen stuff. They got a brewery, shirt club, autographs and memorabilia. I'm telling you guys, you gotta go check them out for yourselves. I know there is going to be a purchase from me in the next month here or so. Definitely, this looks like some really, really cool stuff. So it's Minnesota-awesome.com, and you can find them on Instagram as well. If you've heard of them, let me know what you like. And if you haven't, go check them out. And yeah, that's what we got for our local business shout out today. First up with our professional sports is, you know, the first official podcast after the Wild being mathematically eliminated. And, you know, I think the toughest part of being mathematically eliminated was that it was against Colorado. But other than that first period, when it was essentially 2-2, it was a 2-2 game going, you know, after the first 20 minutes, which I thought it was a pretty good game. As much as it pains me to admit, the last two periods, we looked like a fucking JV team playing a varsity team that was just better, bigger, and faster than us. And it was, I gotta say, kind of embarrassing, a little embarrassing to watch. You know, obviously, you know, you gotta give credit when credit's due, and, you know, guys like Nathan McKinney, Kale McCarr, they're not only so talented, but they're fast. You know, they forecheck, and, you know, gosh, my coworker made a great point. You know, going into the game, I'm sure the Wild and John Hines, unless they're stupid, knew Colorado is fast and was going to play off of that. And the way you kind of offset a team that's fast is you forecheck. And outside of that first period, it seemed like we were timid and we were playing like typical Minnesota. We were playing not to lose, which, you know, can only work for so long, and it just bit us in the ass. I mean, freaking A, Nathan McKinnon got a hat trick against us, and had and assist. I mean, he single-handedly beat us. You know, like I said, I know I sound super frustrated about this and that we're mathematically eliminated. And truthfully, I'm more upset with the fact with how we got eliminated than the fact that we are eliminated. I mean, crap, the last week and a half, for sure, maybe the last 2-3 weeks, I've counted us out. It was going to be a long shot. I mean, we haven't won back-to-back game. You got to go all the way back to the March 14th and 12th and 14th to the last time we won back-to-back games. I mean, we're never really able to find a groove, you know. In November, December, we were able to win, you know, 4 games in a row, we were really streaky this year. You know, it stinks. You know, this will be a very interesting podcast going forward, because this is the first year, the last 4 years they've made the playoffs. So this will be the first year of the podcast we don't have Wild hockey to at least talk about in the first round. But it still should be a very interesting playoff season for the teams that did make it. And yeah, honestly, like I said, I think the silver lining is, you know, now that we're mathematically eliminated, it'll be nice to see some of these young guys up. You know, we saw Wallstedt get the win against the Blackhawks in the shutout. We got some of our young guys coming on up. It looks like that Liam Holmgren is going to get some ice time. And truthfully, I kind of hope some of these younger guys that were maybe on the fence about, you know, maybe, you know, Marat or some of these younger guys kind of get some looks to kind of take a look and see what we're going to do next year. Once again, I've shouted him up, shouted a couple times here, but my coworker was right on point. He's a huge hockey fan. We always talk about the Wild, but he said it best. The two things this team needs to do to be better next season and at least give ourselves a chance is, one, we need to get younger. Not that we're that old, but we need to get younger, and with that, we need to get faster. I mean, again, you know, you look at guys like Kirill, you look at guys like Joel Eriksson Ek, Brock Faber, Matt Boldy, and they're fast. Don't get me wrong, they're fast. But Boldy and Kirill are only out there for so much, like, or for so long. You need to be able to put pressure on, and, you know, this unfortunately was just a year where we were kind of always the middle of the pack. We were able to beat up on the teams that we needed to beat up on. We were kind of 500 against teams that were kind of in the same realm with us. But the teams that were the better teams, the Dallas's, the Winnipeg's, the Colorado's, the LA's, the Vegas, we just completely shit the bed. Even St. Louis and Nashville in our division, we couldn't get the job done. And, you know, it sucks, but hey, you know, life goes on. As we say in Minnesota, there's always next year. But yeah, like I said, I really think Bill Guerin's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make, especially with the goalie situation coming up here. It should help that the salary cap around the league is going to go up for this upcoming season, but we still have one more year where we're going to be in kind of cap hell, as we've been talking about. But yeah, I gotta say, these final 4 games, I'm excited to see hopefully see some of these younger guys get some ice time, see what they can do, and try to, you know, get excited for them coming into next season, for the Wild as they wrap up their 24 campaign. They will be in Vegas tomorrow night at 9:00. And Saturday they will be in San Jose, at 9:30, and then wrapping up their final road trip of the season on Monday night. They will be in Los Angeles at 8:30, for games against the Golden Knights, Sharks, and Kings respectively. And then wrapping up the season, the night of the next podcast, Thursday the 18th, against the Seattle Kraken. So, yeah, that's what we have for the wild. For the Wolves, continuing to have a good season. It sucks and it kind of stings that we lost last night to the Nuggets. And I'm not going to go down that wormhole, but a couple quick things. Karl-Anthony Towns is expected to come back. He's expected to play either in the Hawks game, which will be tomorrow, or the Suns game on Tuesday, which will which will be kind of nice to see him, you know, kind of getting some game time and everything like that before we get into the thick of things in the playoffs here. But yeah, unfortunately, with the loss last night in Denver, Denver is in the driver's seat as far as the number one seed is concerned. Both of us have games that should be kind of relatively easy games. But if you look at Denver's two remaining games, they have a little more favorable a schedule than we do. The thing we have going for us is Denver's got to go on the road for their next two games. They got the Spurs and the Grizzlies, who are both mathematically eliminated, versus us. We have the Suns on the very final game of the season, but we also have the Atlanta Hawks. But they're both home games. So, and we own, we're going to get into tiebreakers and stuff. We got a question from Marco. But we own all the tiebreakers, or we own the tiebreaker with Denver. So should Denver lose one of their two games, and we, essentially Denver needs to have a outright better record than us to get the number one seed. So, and I'll get into that. Marco wants to know, Jack, what the heck? I thought we had the tiebreakers over the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. ESPN has us number three in the standings. And Marco, I got to say, as soon as I saw this from you, I was freaking out myself. I went onto the app and I was like, what the heck? And then I checked out NBA.com. So something, something is clearly going wrong. If you're looking at, it's fixed on the, I don't know if you know this, Marco, but it's fixed on line on the computer setting. It's not in the mobile app version for some reason, and it's in the correct way on NBA.com. And I'll tell you why that is. If you go into the ESPN app on your phone and go to standings, oh, they've actually changed it now. But the first tiebreaker is head-to-head, whether you're in the same division or not, it's head-to-head matchups. So what happened, Marco, is if you go to, geez, we haven't played the Oklahoma City Thunder since January. So if you go to that, they and you scroll all the way down, you can see where the regular season series was. Despite playing all four of the games, when it was an issue and has in third, it showed that the Thunder were leading the series 2-1, when in reality, we were tied 2-2. Well, even though it was tied 2-2, it says their app must have read, hey, you know, 2-1, okay, OKC gets it. But to answer your question, now that everything is fixed, Marco, I'm still going to explain it. So for those that don't know, the first, like I said, tiebreaker is head-to-head matchup, okay? Second tiebreaker for teams within the same division is division win-loss percentage, right? Win-loss percentage. So then you go to within the division. So then you go into the division, and Denver, unfortunately, has the tiebreaker there. But both us and Oklahoma City are 12-4. And then the next tiebreaker is conference matchup. And this is where we get the go-ahead over Oklahoma City. The Timberwolves are 37-14 in the conference. And Oklahoma is 35-16. Well, for some of you out there that might think, well, Jack, what the hell? If we lose our next two games, what could happen? Even if we lose our next two games, we still have that tiebreaker. like I said, we have Atlanta next and Phoenix next. Only one of those two games is a conference game. So even if we lose that game, we would still sit at 37-15, which would be one game better than Oklahoma City Thunder. So we right now would be looking at the seventh seed. So, you know, as of right now, Phoenix and Sacramento would play in a game to decide who gets to play us, while the loser would play the winner of the Lakers and Golden State game and play the Denver Nuggets. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I was watching the these last couple games because things are really close between, you know, New Orleans, Phoenix, Sacramento, Los Angeles, and Golden State. You know, a lot of these teams don't control their own destiny. They need some help and that kind of stuff. I was watching the game last night, and they did mention the only game that is cemented, set in stone, is the Clippers and Dallas will be the 4-5 game. Who is hosting that series is can still flip, but as of right now, the Clippers would host the Dallas Mavericks for a chance to play Denver or the 8th seed in the second round. So, yeah, I'm excited to see a Cat get back into the thick of things, and we're doing really, really well. I mean, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole because I could get into it all night, but we were 5 or 6. It wouldn't be that many because I think he got up to 4 fouls, but we were a handful of missed calls against Nikola Jokic away from completely switching momentum to the other side. Up until halfway through the fourth quarter, we looked like the better team. Like I said, I can think of two blatant non-calls about halfway through the fourth quarter that should have been called on Jokic, that would have been called on probably anybody else. Like, if the two things that Jokic did, he clearly pushed Gobert down to go get a loose ball foul, and then he was grabbing on Gobert as he was trying to lay the ball in it, and he missed it. But I'm willing to bet. I mean, it makes sense, but it's still so frustrating how much the NBA just sucks the teat of some of these guys. It, you know, you always say, you know, you love it when your players get it, but Anthony Edwards isn't getting all these calls. I'm just going to come out and say that. But I'm willing to bet those two things that Nikola Jokic did halfway through the fourth quarter, and I understand they don't want to make calls that affect the game, but let me paint you this picture. If Mike Connolly did either of those things, if Kyle Anderson did any of those things, if Nikhil Alexander-Walker did those two things, those three guys would have been called on both of those instances. That's all I'm going to say. However, the Timberwolves have already gone into Denver and beaten the Nuggets on home court. So should we not have home court advantage in a series, potential series with them in the playoffs, we have shown we can beat them. So, excited, like I said, to wrap up here with the Wild and the Wolves, and a little update on you guys. A week from tonight, we're going to do our, it's not going to be a normal podcast. It's going to be the NBA playoff preview on the 18th. And then I'm still firming up with a guest for the NHL playoff update. Still don't have a date for that. I will keep everybody updated on that. But that'll probably be the 19th or the 20th, as the NHL playoffs will get underway on the 22nd. So that is what we have there. Not a ton. I have one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about with the Vikings that my brother was curious about today, so I talked about it a little bit with him, and then I had two people kind of reach out. They weren't very much questions as they were what's going to happen, kind of like seeing, kind of whatever. But the point being, we've been talking about the NFL draft and what could happen here, and it'll be interesting. A lot of people these last couple of weeks have been asking, when's the deal going to be made? You know, it's a lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion we're going to trade up. I do believe we are. I think it's going to happen on the day of the draft. And the reason I say that is because of this. I truly believe, and I told my brother this today, I believe the Minnesota front office has trades in place with the New England Patriots, who have the 3 pick, the Arizona Cardinals, who have the 4 pick, and the Chargers, who have the 5th pick. I believe they will either try to get picks 1 or 2 or 3 from the Commanders or the New England Patriots to get Drake May. The issue is, I think not only is Chicago, as much as it pays me to admit, Chicago is dead set on the number 1 pick. I really think I think Washington is set on the 2nd pick. And won't take too much. Like, you're going to have to sell the house if you want the 2nd pick. The only reason I say that is because before the draft, they've already traded away their main quarterback from last year, and they cut another guy, they cut another quarterback. So I'm pretty sure they're set on drafting a guy number 2 and letting him play out this year. The issue becomes, who are they going to take? Because if they take Jaden Daniels, they will try to make that trade right away with the Pats to get up to number 3 to take Dre May. However, should the Washington Commanders take Drake May with the 2nd overall pick, they're probably going to cross off and ignore the Patriots and field a call into either the Arizona Cardinals or the Chargers. And probably the Chargers, just because everybody knows Arizona has kind of made it known they're not going to be taking a quarterback. But they would trade up with either Arizona or Chargers to get J.J. McCarthy. And I have to say, the more film I've been watching on the two of them, the more I'm reading up on them, the more homework I'm doing, I'm sold on both those two guys. I think they had the discipline, they have all the attributes and everything you want for them to work their butts off and be able to start week 1. Should that not be the case, I think at the very latest, they start week 5 or 6 for us. Week 5 or 6. And I really think whoever we get between those two will be our quarterback for the next decade. I'm saying it right now. It's going to happen. We've had Kirk for the last 6 years, so we haven't quite been, you know, the Washington Redskins or the Cleveland Browns are going through quarterbacks left and right like some of these other teams have. But we're due. We are due for a guy that's just going to be our guy for the next 8 to 10 years. And, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. So, with that, I am going to remind you guys that, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's miniweekend@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. And also find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.